Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words and help us to be good students of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's the Acts of the Apostles. What are the transitions? Okay, this is a pop quiz. Open book pop quiz, I guess you could say. Huh? Okay, it's a transition from what race of people? Jews to the Gentiles. Okay, what organization? From Israel to the church. Okay, what cities? Two cities it changes. Jerusalem to Antioch. Okay, who are the main characters it changes? Peter to Paul. Okay, so that's the transition through the book of Acts. The first time the word Christian shows up is in Acts 11:26. Okay, and so that is a very, very important, vital to understand the Bible. We're up to Acts 5:17. Okay, so far Peter has been the chief spokesman throughout this at the beginning. Acts 2, they had 3,000 believe the message. In Acts 4, after James and Peter healed a crippled man, they had 5,000 believe. And then they got arrested. And then in chapter 5, they had a death from somebody lying to the Holy Ghost. And a bunch of people are coming to them, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all over the place. From everywhere, everybody gets healed. And then, of course, the religious persecution starts, verse 17. Okay, religion is the biggest persecutor of man. Usually religion will get the civil authorities involved. Okay, but the motivation is usually religion, and then it turns civil. Okay, even with Stalin killing 50 million people, that was religious because he was following secular humanism, Darwinian theory. Okay, and then, of course, Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic, not a good one, but he was a Roman Catholic. Okay, plus he was mixed, he had some kind of witchcraft and all this other stuff involved in there. Okay, so religion, and so Acts 5:17, we got the high priests that are upset. They're upset that all these people, multitudes of people, are coming to them, believing the message. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Okay, that word sect is probably what we would call a cult. Okay, Acts 24, verse 14. If a fundamental Baptist, accuses you of being cultish or a cult because you believe all of the Bible, that's a compliment. Okay, we'll take that and put that on as a compliment. But what is a cult per se? Okay, there's a fella, Walter Martin, I think was his name, that wrote a few books on cults. And in this big book that usually the evangelicals bought his book, he didn't write about the Catholic Church being a cult. Wrote about Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Armstrongism, Mormonism, Hare Krishna, but he didn't write about the Catholic Church. It kind of hurts the sales, I guess, on cults. And so several years ago on the radio, I decided to go through a series on the cults, pick a cult a week or something like that. And how do you do the Catholic Church when the owner's a Catholic? And so I played Simon Says is what I did. Simon Says. And I went with the Apostle Peter. Simon says that the church is not the interpreter of the Scriptures. The Holy Ghost is. Simon says Jesus is the rock. 1 Peter chapter 2. Simon says you should read some of Paul's writings. 2 Peter chapter 3. Simon says you're going to have to get married because he had a mother-in-law. I mean, it'd be the dumbest guy in the world to get married and not have a, you know, not have a wife. So he had a mother-in-law in there. And so he got married. And so all these things on Simon Peter, and of course you can see right where it's gone. And when an Italian in Acts chapter 10 came to Simon Peter to bow down and worship him, Simon said, "Get up." And of course we know the Pope don't follow those principles. And so, the cult. What is a cult, per se? A lot of times people charge that, that's a cult. Okay, but what is a cult? Define it. Okay, define what a cult is. The definition I have come to define a cult is an organization or the leadership of an organization who demand blind obedience. Blind loyalty. That's a cult. Okay? Where Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, you gotta blindly follow them. Of course, the Catholic Church, you gotta blindly follow them. Some would brand Hiles Anderson. Some that leave First Baptist Hammond, Hiles Anderson in the day would say that's cult. I wouldn't say that. I'd say it's cultish. Could be. Okay? Borderline. Especially when they push blind loyalty so much. Okay, so it's like in the Knights of Columbus, fourth degree oath of the Knights of Columbus. Several years ago I found this online. It's in the Congressional Record back in 1918 or 17. There was a Protestant and a Catholic running for political office in Pennsylvania. And since it was a very strong Protestant area, the Protestant guy, he denied it, but he found this Knights of Columbus oath, and he started passing through the whole area, district. And then, of course, the Catholic guy was mad, and it got to a big hearing. And so they put it in the Congressional Record. And in this oath of the fourth degree Knights of Columbus, the Knights of Columbus will be the businessmen of the Catholic Church who try to help you understand all the inconsistencies of the Catholic Church. Okay, and so they'll often, I don't know if they still do it, but you could get little booklets from them free. You could get a home study course, 10 lessons from them free. I did all that. I flunked most of them. I got a C on one because they have multiple choice answers, and I didn't like their answers, and so I'd add another one. And so you used to be able to do that. But in the fourth degree oath of the Knights of Columbus, it says something like, "We will rip open the wombs of their women and crush their infants' heads against the wall. We will follow the militant of the Pope as a cadaver with no will." Now that's a cult. Okay, now that fourth degree oath I put on a little track type form, and I found the little symbol and put it in the front. And, you know, you kind of pass it around here and there. And several years ago, you know, being a long time ago and it's past the statutes of limitation, down at Rensselaer, they were going to have a 150-year anniversary celebration. I just visited a jail, and I was going by, and I saw all these chairs. And I thought, man, Knights of Columbus oath, every other seat, that would be nice. Because in that oath, I dispersed a few comments. And I thought, man, they're all out here. They'll see who's doing it. They'll know who's doing it. So all I did was I took about a stack of 15 of them, went into the courthouse, set them right beside the crisis center stack, and left. Didn't think anything of it. And on Wednesday night, a guy came to church. That was on, that was on a Saturday. And then on Wednesday night, some guy came to church and he said, "Did you see the paper?" And I said, "No." He said, "Somebody put these tracks in the courthouse and hit the paper. And Judge McGraw is mad. Oh, man, they said the KKK did it." And he said, "I wish I knew who did that. I'd shake their hand." I almost said, "You just did." And I didn't say anything about it. And the next Sunday, Sandy Marlin, she was a cash register lady at Walgreens. So she walked in church. She said, "You did that, didn't you?" I said, "Did what?" "I have not a clue what you're talking about." Boy, were people upset. And what they were upset about was the comments, not the oath. That's what they were upset about. Read the oath. That should be what they got upset about. Okay, and so I think I still have that. I don't have a copies of them. I got to dig it up again because I think it'd be nice when you see a parade. Usually, you see the Shriners walk, you know, and the Knights of Columbus. I think it would be super great if one's on one side with sunglasses, and one's on the other side with sunglasses. And as the Knights of Columbus are walking down, you're passing out the brochure, keeping up with them all the way to the end, and then you hightail it out of there. Because, whoa, do they get upset. Again, they should get upset not at you, but at whoever wrote the oath. I mean, the idea of killing an infant in the womb, ripping the women's womb open and killing the infant, that's what it says in there. Knights of Columbus, fourth degree. Of course, they're denying it now, but you can find it online. So in verse 17, the sect of the Sadducees, they were angry. They were mad. Why? Because all these people are getting healed? They were mad because they were losing their religious position. That's what they're upset about. Okay, the Sadducees would have been a group of religious people back then who did not believe in any resurrection. Okay, so what do they do? Verse 17, they laid their hands on the apostles. Put them in the common prison. So that's kidnapping. They have no probable cause, and when they do that, arrest the guy, that's called kidnapping. Okay, and the angel of the Lord, now watch how the Lord intervened for them. Put them in a common prison, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, so these guys half asleep, angels leading them out, and said, okay, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So, but the Sadducees are going to get mad. Hey, I don't care. Well, the religious authorities, the civil authorities, they're going to be up tough. I told you. So they have a choice here. Verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Do what I tell you to do, or do what man tells you to do. And there's a lot of things in life that we have to make those decisions. Okay, in this case, they obviously went right down there, verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. So again, this is still part of a Jewish holiday season type, and so that's why they're still hanging around. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay, so the camera quickly shifts from the temple to the big dogs, the religious guys. Okay, the high priest, the senate, the civil authorities. Okay, notice the word council. Spelled that way in the Bible is a negative thing. It's usually a group of people who are trying to take down the words of God. Okay, so you have the Vatican II Council, the Nicene Council, the Town Council, the Student Council. Okay, and all those things. That's kind of the idea. So that's a negative term in the Bible. Okay, and then verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, so they didn't even know these guys were gone. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly found was shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. Well, wouldn't that have been a thing? They escaped. Okay, so they got out of there. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. Why did they do that? For they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Okay, violence. Okay, that is the chosen method of governing authorities. Okay, two basic methods. Okay, one is deception. That's the method of choice, deception number one. If that don't work, violence number two. Okay, the level of the violence is depending upon the individual, the officer themselves. And so the Lord says to us that you got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So whenever you're dealing with an officer of the law or whatever, we want to behave as a believer of Jesus Christ, but yet we want to follow what God wants us to do. Okay, so verse 20, he said, go stand in the temple and teach. So who are they going to obey? They obeyed God. Okay, and so, this is not saying that, okay, if you're in a public passing out tracts or something, and somebody with a uniform and a badge, with a nightstick and a gun, says you can't do that here. Okay, what are we going to do? Okay, you have a choice. You can ask him a question. I would never make a statement. I always ask a question, answer a question with a question. Oh, I can't do that here. I'd like to say, watch this. That's what I like to do. But if he's got a taser, why sit there and get shocked? Okay, but, Jan and I was flying out one time, and she gave a track to one of the TSA people. You know, oh boy, them people. And this lady, smarter off, you can't do that here. Oh man, that made my day. Thank you very much. Yes, we can, ma'am. The opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States says we can. See you later, bye. And walked off, passing out tracts. Because we have that right, and you have a right at a county fair to do it. Okay, you can't impede traffic, flow of traffic, but you can pass out tracts. I would suggest have a partner and pick up the tracts that they throw on the ground. Even though they are the litter bugs, we want to not allow our good to be evil spoken of. Okay, and so the thing is be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Do the right thing. And follow the Lord's leading. So in verse 26, the officers could have brought them violently, but they were afraid of the people. Okay, and this is one vital, important thing whenever you're dealing with a public official or a police officer, in some case, is have a camera or your cell phone going at all times. Must. Rodney King became a rich man because somebody was doing that, even though he deserved that whack upside the head a few. Okay, and so always have the cell phone. And if you want to be very sly about it, you could have a piece of paper and a pen and say something like, do you mind if I take notes and record our conversation? And in their mind, they're thinking you're doing this. And so you start doing that, and then you stop doing that, and now they will speak freely, and you've got them on the record because they have said, yes, go ahead, I don't mind. And then you still got the tape recorder running. You've already got their permission. They will speak very free then. Okay, you're not lying, you're just being very wise. Okay, so violence. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven operates by violence, and the violent will take it by force. Okay, I think some of us are old enough to remember what was on the sheriff's car in the past. Not law enforcement. What was it in the past? Peace officer. P peace officer. They get that out of Isaiah. Officers of peace. I think it's 62. That's what's going to be the millennial time period. Okay? Officers are a peace officer. That's what it used to be. Now it's law in force. That's violence. It's intimidation. It's bullying people. That's not liberty. Okay? And so that's what the Bible tells us. Okay, that's the governing authorities. That is how they get their way. Okay, and in most cases, a law is nothing but an opinion backed by a gun. Okay, verse 26, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And all sorts of wonderful comments. Did God die and make you and put you in charge? Were you the kid that got picked on in school and now you're taking it out on everybody? Yeah, you commanded, but who cares what you've got to say, pal? Don't really care. You can command all you want. You don't have the authority over us. You know, all sorts of funny little comments come up to mind. Where do you live? And the answer is, everywhere I go. That really gets them excited. Okay, I saw the blood pressure of an attorney go very high when I said that in court, answered that one. Okay, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. See that? Your doctrine. No, it's not theirs. It's what God is teaching them. It's what the Spirit of God is teaching them. You see, like this guy's not teaching his doctrine. Of course he is. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It already is. His blood is already on you because at Calvary, you and your cronies said, let his blood be upon us and our children. So you're the one that said that. Matthew 27:25. We're just reinforcing what you said. We're just telling you what you said. Now, if you don't like the idea, then you shouldn't have made the agreement back in those days at Calvary. Okay, but notice in verse 28, though, that they're getting the message, aren't they? The message is getting out very clearly that those authorities are responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's that. Then notice Peter's response. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Okay, just blanket statement. Okay, and that's the thing is, just a blanket statement of truth. Okay, we ought to obey God rather than men. Do you not agree with that, pal? Do you not agree with that? And he'd probably say, well, I'm God. Okay, you might think so. But we ought to obey God rather than men. And there's the Bible statement for us. Okay, and the thing is a lot of people obey what they think or they act according to what they think is a law, but in reality it's not. Okay, I think California is now going to mandate vaccinations if a kid wants to be in the public school. Okay, so okay, so now what's a parent going to do? Are they going to read the law and discover that that is unconstitutional? They can't do that. That's a violation of the fourth article of the Bill of Rights. Okay, I remember reading a billboard up on 30. It's one of those billboards that change over. And it says, it is not the law that you have to vaccinate your children. I thought, whoa. And then they cited the Indiana Code, I thought, well, somebody's getting some news out there. That's good. That's good. Okay, and so what is a parent going to do? Put their kid in a public school? Most of them are going to do it, so they're going to give their kid the shot. And then you study, what's the autism? Study that. When that started. And there was no, and the Amish kids that are not vaccinated don't get autism. That is directly linked to vaccinations. And then you discover that they put what they put in these vaccines. And then you discover some of these doctors said, no way am I going to take that vaccine, but I'll administer it. Okay? And the thing is we got to study and be knowledgeable about things, and we got to know the law, and we got to ask God to guide us and direct us. And if it comes to a point where man says one thing and God says another, then obey God. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, that's what Romans 13, verse 1 states, that we are to let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. So the priority is God, okay, and then down the line. All the new Bibles change that verse to say, obey all governing authorities. Which is impossible. Even if you try to obey them, it's still impossible. Has anybody ever read all the federal statutes? And the state statutes? And the municipal code in Lowell? I mean, none of us have read all that stuff. I mean, it's a volume, it'd take a lifetime to read all that stuff. And so we don't even know what some of these things are. Okay, so the Lord says, or Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then he adds that, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. So, notice he is not backing off of what this man said. He is not embarrassed by what he's going to say. He is not intimidated. He's not angry. He's just stating the facts. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged in a tree. He put it right back on them. A lot of people don't want to talk to these people like this, but you just talk very matter-of-factly and then just watch their eye sockets bug out. Okay, and so, whom ye slew. And they said, you're trying to bring his blood upon us. That's right. That's right. Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Jesus Christ. A prince. Uppercase P. Satan is a prince of the power of the air. Lowercase P. And he's the Savior, verse 31. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he gets it right back to witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Savior. What for? To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Okay, so the Lord is exalted. God is giving Israel another chance to receive Jesus Christ as a nation. Through repentance, and then they will receive forgiveness of sins, of receiving Jesus Christ, and then he backs it up with this, and we are his witnesses of these things. We have witnessed these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost. There's God backing us, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Okay, how is the Holy Ghost bearing witness to their words? It's by the signs and the wonders of verse 15 and 16. Okay, that's the apostolic gifts, where they make their statements, they give forth their message, and then some miracle or a wonder takes place, and that's the Spirit of God backing their words, saying, that's right. Okay, verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Good. That's good for them. They got the point. Okay, and that's what truth is like. It cuts. It cuts to the heart, and that's where Peter wanted it cut. Right to their heart. Not to their head, but their heart. And then it says, and took counsel to slay them. Now notice, it cut their heart, but they weren't getting right. Okay, this is where the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, it maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Okay, that doesn't mean be peaceable. Okay, it means that they are at peace. They have no answer. They have shut up. They cannot refute what you say. They intend to kill you, but they cannot refute what you say, so they're at peace with them. Okay, and this cut to them, cut to their heart, and now they intend to murder. Just like Calvary, it's Calvary all over again. Okay, but there is somebody, and they would have done it if they could have got away with it. If the people weren't there, they wanted to do it. But there was a man there, a very respected man, a very wise man, Gamaliel or Gamaliel. I don't know which way you'd pronounce his name. Okay, so he's a very respected man. Okay, he is the one who says something and kind of relieves the tension, shall we say. Okay, because God was not ready. God did not want these men to be killed yet. Now, Peter and John, all these men died terrible deaths. But they died when God wanted them to die, when their death would bring His glory. And it's not ready for that. So here's this fellow, verse 34. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. Okay, this is like a educational degree. Okay, like you have your doctor's degree. The word doctor, I think, is found three times in the Bible. And the reason why I say the doctor of the law, it's basically dealing with Jewish law. Now, this guy, Gamaliel, where Paul says in Acts 22, verse 3, that he was brought up at the feet of this man. So this man would have been the tutor of Saul as he was growing up. Okay, like King James was tutored by a preacher, a Calvinistic preacher, but yet he was tutored by this preacher because King James became king when he was a year and a half old. And then as he grew, obviously counsels men that made decisions for the kingdom. But as he went through school, there was one man teaching, I forget his name, teaching him that was a strict Calvinist, a Protestant. And he's the one that educated King James. Okay, and so this Gamaliel was the tutor of Saul. As he was growing up, Acts 22, verse 3, that's what Saul said. So a very respected man, doctor of law, and then he said, had in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So this man is interceding for them. He's mediating. He's trying to calm people down. And he's trying to let cooler heads prevail is what he's doing. And with the respect that they have for him, his counsel was heeded. Now here's what he says, verse 35. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. You know, settle down, fellas. Take heed to yourselves. What ye intend to do is touching these men. Careful. And then he gives a couple examples. He said, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody. Isn't that something? Boasting himself to be somebody. You know, maybe in a marquee sometimes we'll put on there, I don't think we got enough space, a place where everybody's a nobody. That'd be a good marquee, wouldn't it? Instead of a charismatic church where everybody's somebody. Now, how about a place where everybody's a nobody? And to be a nobody Christian, Christ, the first six letters, I-A-N, I am nothing. And God can create something out of nothing, so if we remain our nothingness, then God can create something out of it. Okay, so he says, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, so he got a 400, crowd of 400, joined themselves, who was slain and all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Okay, Jim Jones. From my reading of Jim Jones, that he was a Jesuit priest, and he used to stand behind his pulpit, and he'd stand on top of a Bible, and he'd say to his people, "The problem with some of you is you're listening to this rather than me." And that may have been more of a CIA practice, I don't know, going on down there. But 400 people died here, okay, following this man. Verse 37, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, so a guy's going to, a tax rebel, I guess you could say, and drew away much people after him. So a lot of people followed him. He also perished and even as many as obeyed him were dispersed, scattered out. And now I say unto you, okay, so he gave two examples of two men that got a following, and one where all of them died, and the other one they scattered. In other words, he's saying this is what we need to take heed. He says, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Good advice. Good advice. And if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Okay, so this is excellent advice. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Oh man, I thought you were supposed to leave them alone. The advice was, let them alone. Why are you beating on them? Intimidation. And beating them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Okay, so that's an order. Tough. Don't mean anything. Don't have any authority to that order. Ignore it. And that's how a lot of court orders are. Just ignore them. Okay, and then verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, complaining, griping, discouraged, upset, because they got beat. Different reaction, isn't it? This is a reaction when they're filled with the Spirit of God. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. That's what Peter said to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, rejoice. Okay, rejoice. Jump for joy. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Okay, now the word worthy, well, let's see, the center margin is pretty full. I guess I could have made smaller print there. I just thought of the worthy. If you would go to 1 Thessalonians, it might be 2nd. Here's what he's talking about, this idea of being worthy. It's not worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 and 5. This is not worthy, they were counted worthy, not a worthy of salvation. What are they? They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. That's the idea. Is because they suffered trouble, they're rejoicing because, man, this is just giving us rewards for an eternity. Much better. Okay, that's the idea of that worthy. And I think it's used again. Let me look again. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure, His goodness, and the work of faith with power. So when we go through some trials in life, that is actually the Lord saying, I want you to go through this because I want to pay you later. I'm going to pay you something later on. I'm not going to pay you unless you go through this. And verse 41 of Acts 6 or 5, they were rejoicing. And then verse 42, obviously they disobeyed the order, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Didn't slow them down. So that's good. That's good. Okay, so that's chapter 5. Any questions or comments when we're covered?